Remember Dolly, the fluffy, winsome sheep from Scotland? She was the first mammal to be cloned from an adult cell. Or was she? If you're thinking of looking into cloning to create a copy of a pet who passed on, Dr. Matt Fraker says you should consider what happened to the first widely known animal clone.
I like to remind people that Church, from Stephen King's Pet Sematary, the gray cat, was that when you think about cloning your pet, you're sort of going into the pet cemetery.
So we're not getting an exact copy when we're cloning.
It's so important to remember that. Correct.
You're not transplanting the animal's personality into a new body.
Now, there have been people who have been very happy with the results, and these pets were similar enough to the original animal that they were choosing to clone. But also keep in mind the risk factors of spending $100,000 to have an animal cloned and then having it do something unrelated to cloning, like slip a leash and run out in the street and get hit by a car when it's 2 years old.
Yeah.
It's a convoluted conversation in terms of the pros and cons of cloning. In terms of the ethical considerations, there's some concern that some of these animals starts to, you may have to take a couple rounds at it, and in the process you may be creating some creatures that have significant birth defects or what have you. Should we be doing that to try to get back to our original pet? Remembering critically that you're not going to get back to your original pet
ever.
In the first place.
Ever.
Right. I think another fairly legitimate ethical concern is what, and this is tough, you know, you're basically telling somebody, you can't tell somebody that their emotions are wrong, and I don't want to say that your emotions are wrong. I'm just saying that if you can step back for a minute and let emotion take a breather, you know, with the money that you're spending to get your pet cloned, the amount of good that you could do for a gazillion pets out there. Plus, in my experience as a dog owner, I always have three, and when one passes away, I lost one this summer, that means at some point there's going to be a third dog in the Fraker household, and he came along in October. I can't imagine wanting to give up the joy of that discovery process.
Of having a new friend with a new personality,
exactly.
With new memories.
And bringing a whole new... Now, I had the dog I'll never have again. And I actually have that Church moment every once in a while.
Yes.
If I had a little chunk of him to bury in the pet cemetery, would I do it?
I had a cat like that.
Yeah, right? You know, and you don't ever let those pets go. And it's easy, of course, to translate that emotion. You know, when you think about what humans go through with human loss, there really is a celebratory joy of the new animal. And what is that animal going to bring to your life? Now, it can be disappointment, especially when you come off the high of the greatest dog or cat you've ever had. You know, there's a pretty good chance you may not have that on the next animal. But on the other hand, these cats and dogs, and I'm focusing on, you know, sort of the meat and potatoes companion animals, cats and dogs, they're so complicated, and they are all going to bring something new and different. To me, personally, it seems like an excessive waste for kind of high risk to take tens of thousands of dollars, $100,000, investing it in an animal that may or may not, may be just as likely to disappoint you as the animal that desperately needs a home. And, you know, we have all these dogs and cats getting nuked every day because there's not enough homes for them. You know, why not take that money, put it into an estate that helps homeless animals, and then somewhere in the process, go find your next new pet?
There was a company in California called BioArts, and they actually cloned a 9/11 search and rescue dog called Tracker. Yes.
I didn't know about this.
Yes, but this company has since gone out of business, and I think they just sort of faced up to the fact that this is not a sustainable business, because how many people can shell out $100,000 to replace a pet? How can you there aren't that many people out there to sustain it. And it's a roll of the dice.
It is. And that's why the analogy to the pet cemetery is probably a little bit darker and a little more dramatic than what's really taking
but
place.
But we all love Stephen King.
Yeah, right. But emotionally, not really. I mean, if you put that much of your investment and emotion into hoping that you get that dog or cat back and things happen, you know, the genetics play out differently and you end up, your dog that lasted 16 years in its first life cloned back, it's juvenile onset kidney failure at 3 years of age, or again, just the regular traumas that can happen. And I'm not saying you just wasted $100,000 for that. Your money is yours to spend. But, I mean, there are some shadowy ethical concerns about the process and how it affects pet ownership in general. The critical notion being this is not an identical twin. And people think that cloning equals identical twin. And this process doesn't give you the identical twin. It gives you something that's going to have different environmental development and perhaps different behavioral, different genetic development.
Perhaps a compromise, I mean an alternative to cloning, is if you like a particular breed of dog or cat, to go get another of that particular breed. I mean, look at the queen. How many corgis has the queen owned in her lifetime?
30 or something, right?
Exactly. And if you had a great dog who was a corgi and that dog died, instead of cloning, go find yourself another corgi, because that animal likely will have a sort of a similar type of personality and looks and all that kind of stuff that goes with it.
And we see that. I can think of the great owner that we have that sticks to mastiffs. Now, here's a breed. These tan roan mastiffs are their favorites. And I think really probably the most dependable version of that breed, that they know they're in for expensive health issues when they break. Probably a shortened lifespan.
Maybe 10 years.
Yeah, 10 years, but sometimes 7, sometimes 8. Mm-hmm. And they don't care. They're always running around with 2 or 3 mastiffs. And we have the golden retriever owners that are like that. Now, we do also have people who are really scared when they get a great, like, they get the best corgi that we'll ever see. And when that dog passes away, corgis can be, as an example, you know, talking about the queen, corgis sometimes have some behavioral quirks that can make them a little bit more difficult in family situations or whatnot. And so there's that same cloning disappointment possibility. If you have a great, great member of a golden retriever breed, golden retriever is not a good example because they're almost all great dogs. But some of these other breeds where
we won't name those other breeds that aren't so great.
Yes, I'll go nameless from here on. But some of the breeds that are a little bit more variable in behavioral dependency or consistency, medical consistency, where you might have the dog of a lifetime representing that breed and you run out and try to fill those shoes, and there can be disappointment there. But without question, we do have folks who stick to the breed, to the breed, to the breed. It is sort of like quote unquote cheat cloning, because what we've done with purebreds is pretty hardcore, significant, breeding way down these lines that
they can get very, very specific.
Yes. I mean, when you look at any time you breed a purebred with your purebred, its definition, it's more or less inbreeding. And I'm not condemning it. I'm just saying that, that's why we see the health issues that we see in purebreds. Certain purebreds definitely have higher incidences of certain diseases, and that's because of the breeding. But on the other hand, what's the trade-off? Well, we talked about English Bulldogs during our genetic discussion recently, and are English Bulldogs as fun family pets worth the trade-off of ears and skin and allergies? We have a lot of people who certainly think so. Mm-hmm. And it's a constant thought process on how you approach that. But I would 100% agree that it's a lot cheaper to clone by just sticking with the breed that you like than to, pull one out of the ground again.
Come on, we're going to the pet cemetery. That's Dr. Matt Fraker from the Prairie Oak Veterinary Center in Normal. So, cloning, just don't do it. Instead, give an animal in need a good home. Like the Animal House Pet of the Week. It's Pugsley. This 3-year-old pug pit bull terrier mix is a happy-go-lucky fellow with a friendly attitude and a can-do spirit. Want to go for a romp in the park? Pugsley can do. Want some company to pick up some cheeseburgers at the drive-thru? Pugsley can do. Want to save a soft spot on the sofa for a canine that's ready to claim a soft spot in your heart? Pugsley can do. And you can find Pugsley at Wishbone Canine Rescue in Bloomington. I'm Laura Kennedy.